Praise the Lord. I am David Dong. I migrated here with 20 families, 70. And about 40 of us, 43 of us actually, started the church life in Chicago. And today, praise the Lord. We have seen the one grain of wheat multiplied. Amen. But yet still one body. Amen. One piece of bread. Amen. In 1987, Brody called me time. So I've left the Chicago area for about 29 years already. So most of you don't know me, and I don't know most of you. But I've seen a few, like Kevin here, was still have is dark haired, when even before John was married, where's John? It's not working. Right. Amen. Okay, so don't worry about that. I'm in the church. I'm in the body of Christ. So we come together for the Lord's word. Amen. This morning's message, as you see, is on becoming the reproduction of Christ for the building up of God's house as a corporate expression of the triune God. It's a very familiar topic. So it's easy for us old-timers to just kind of say, oh, I knew it. I heard about it. I knew it before. I could even give you a message on this. Yes, you could. But let's humble ourselves and pray that the Lord give us a word. Amen. Amen. Well, the general topic, the topic for the whole training is the line before that, it says, let's read together. For the building up, completely consecrating for the building up of God's house. Amen. Okay, let me just do a recap of what we have been doing this week, and Brother Simon will continue or finish this message. So I may cover a few points here, but since you already know the points, really. Okay. We're talking about consecration. In the Bible, there are two kinds of consecration, or two categories of consecration. One category is found Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 says you should present your members as weapons of righteousness or instruments of righteousness. This is for our life, for our Christian life, for us to live a life that is righteousness and holiness and well-pleasing to God, and actually living out God. And this is our consecration. The most of our consecration is this kind. And then in the Bible, there are examples or patterns of this kind of consecration. Notably, oh, you're here. Okay, I didn't know you were here. It's from Matthew chapter 4. You know, it says, when the Lord Jesus was a great light shining in the shadow of darkness. How does it go? Something like that, right? In those who live in the valley of darkness have seen a light shining to them. And the Lord was that great light. So in the same chapter, when the Lord went through the seashore, the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, they were casting nets. Peter and Andrew, they were casting nets. They were just like most of us. We were doing our jobs. We were studying, or we were doing different worldly things, secular things. Everybody else is doing the same thing. making a living. At that time, the Lord called them, say, follow me. And Peter and Andrew just dropped their net and followed the Lord. How would they follow the Lord like that? Because the Lord was a light, was a great light, was so attractive, a big magnet. When this big magnet comes through, all us little magnets just got, woo! Well, most of us consecrated to the Lord in that way. When I was young, when I was maybe 15 or 16 in high school, one day I was praying and the Lord just showed me, Lord Jesus, of course not outside but inside, a picture of the Lord Jesus dying on the cross. And I saw his whole body was covered with blood. It's all red. And he's dying there from his head, you know, the thorn crown, and from his two hands and his feet. And he was just covered with blood. And I saw him like that. And I give myself to him. I was so ashamed that I was still seeking for worldly things. I felt so ashamed. I repented. I give myself to him. And this was really just like Peter and Andrew gave up everything for the Lord. Of course, I didn't really quite give up everything. I would like to, but you know how we are. We give up something, we consecrate something, we pick that up again. Anyway, the Lord's merciful. He continued to call us again and again. And there's also another set of brothers, James and John, and they were with their father. They were mending the net. And they even, the Lord also called them, follow me. And they left their father, left the boat, left the net, left everything, and followed the Lord Jesus. And most of us follow the Lord. A lot of us follow the Lord like that. Not just among us, but a lot of Christians, those who give the Lord their life to go to mission fields, many of them were like this because they were touched by the Lord's love. They were attracted by the Lord himself. Like Song of Songs says, oh Lord Jesus, when you come, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. And I don't want anyone else. I don't want any other husband. I don't want any other boyfriend. I just want him now. So we follow him. I consecrate myself to the Lord when I was, as I said, I was 15 or 16 in high school at that time. And, of course, I took my consecration back many times, and the Lord would draw me again, and I would reconsecrate myself, many, many times. And when I came to the United States in 1962, I met Brother Lee in Seattle. And I still, of course, Brother Lee was such a person who oozed out life, right? He just, Christ came out from him. And you sit next to him, you listen to him, you are so full of Christ. You, first thing you do is consecrating yourself. You say, oh Lord Jesus, this is worth living, right? Okay. But then he left. He left us. He came down to Los Angeles. We all know in 1962, the end of 1962, he had a conference. In the first conference in the United States, it's called the All-Inclusive Christ, that conference. Have you read that book? That's a wonderful book, right? And I was there in that conference. I stayed with Brother James Ritzky in his house in Altadena at that time. And that's how we met Brother James. And this morning I really miss him because I, all the time in the Lord's table when we sing hymns, I could hear him singing bass. This morning nobody's singing bass. But, sorry, this is sidetracked. So Brother Lee gave the first conference. I was left there in Seattle by ourselves. Lord Jesus, what do? We have consecrated ourselves to the Lord, and therefore we start a church life there. We start caring for students and friends. In one In 6 months, we started the church life in November 1962. By summer 1963, we already had 35 in our meetings. And most of them were the students in University of Washington. Almost all Caucasians. I learned how to cook Chinese meal. Very simple, just add soy sauce, everything. The Americans love soy sauce. Anyway, sidetrack. But my point is, nobody was there helping us to reconsecrate ourselves. So from time to time, we get back. But the responsibility of the church life there kept us going. We didn't have any full-timers. We didn't have any older brothers. I was 19 years old. I was taking the responsibility of the meeting. We had two or three other brothers who are older than I, but they were just kind of, David, you share. Okay. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But one day the Lord led me to read the book called Glorious Church Life. Yeah, The Glorious Church by Watchman Nee. There I found out that God had a will. Before that, I thought God was for me. He died for me. He gave up everything for me. He gave everything. He gave me his life. Divine life. I'm a son of God. I could enjoy him. Right? Then the Lord provided arranged all the environment. I need a scholarship. The Lord gave me a scholarship. I didn't even ask for it. The Lord just gave it to me. And I needed this. I needed that. The Lord provided everything. The Lord's for me. And when I get sick, there are sisters, the brothers and sisters, they just come to visit me, comfort me, pray with me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, the church life is for me. Isn't it for you? We are very self-centered people, aren't we? I don't want to use the word selfish, so you will feel better. But actually, we are very selfish. But praise the Lord. The Lord showed me through that book that God has a will. God has a will. God has a purpose in creating you and me.
Amen.
He saved me for one purpose. For another purpose, not for me, but for him. I'm really for him. So that from that on, that I think that was sophomore in college. I was 20, and I reconsecrated myself to the Lord. And that consecration is different from the first consecration. The first time consecrate is for the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. But this time, I consecrate myself is for his purpose. I am now not just for my own spiritual growth, my feeling, my good feeling, oh, fellowship, we love one another, we this and that. But now we have a purpose, a goal. We are here for God's building. So that's the consecration called the upper room consecration. Have you called the upper room? Have you heard about the upper room consecration? You heard about the upper room prayer. And that at that same time, they had upper room consecration. Bradley shared, Peter and John and those disciples, they followed the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years. The Lord discipled them. The Lord trained them. The Lord gave them a lot, right? And after the Lord died and resurrected, the Lord came and breathed the Spirit into them. Then the Lord stayed with them for 40 days. You know, 40 days. The Bible doesn't tell us what he was talking about in those 40 days. It's a 40-day long training. Right, Jeff? Well, praise the Lord. Marty said that the summer is the training season in the church. Very good. Yeah. We need 40 continuous day training. Those training days, I don't know what the Lord taught to them. You know, the Bible only has one sentence. It says, of the kingdom of God. So we don't know what the Lord spoke. the kingdom of God. He spoke for 40 days. It took us maybe 2 hours to speak the kingdom of God. But it took the Lord 40 days, and must be something much more than just, hey, you need the kingdom of God. And he must have told them what is the kingdom of God. Not only so, how to build the kingdom of God. How to help the saints to be in the kingdom of God. He must have told them a lot of things, right? You imagine that. Then what? They left everything they have. They were Galileans. Their home is in Galilee. Their furniture, their job, their everything was in Galilee. Right? But they left them. And they came, they stayed in Jerusalem. Jerusalem to them is really a foreign country. They didn't know anybody in Jerusalem. They were Galileans. You know, just like in New York, and if you're from Harlem, or you're from Harlem, or you're from Brooklyn, or Bronx, people kind of belittle you, despise you a little bit. You're from Galilee? But they stayed in Jerusalem. It's like in New York City, in Manhattan. Wow, you're Manhattan people. Anyway, but praise the Lord. They gave their life. They gave your future. They gave up their families. They gave up their father's house, their native land, their everything for God's purpose. This is called the upper room consecration. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this time we'd like for you to also reconsecrate yourselves again, not for your own spiritual growth, not just for your fellowship with the Lord, you feel good about yourself, that the Lord loves you, the Lord, when you have a need, the Lord meets all your need. We sing a song, "Why Thou meets all every need." Right, praise the Lord, he meets all every need. Praise the Lord, Jeff, since until now, the Lord meets all every need, right? He has met all our needs. And not only so, he exceeds all our needs. But that's not, you got to realize, it's not all for about you. This is for the Lord. Amen. It's for you to consecrate yourself for his house. Amen. We need upper room consecration. So this time, in this training, the last week in New York, they bought a camp. The churches in New Jersey and New York bought a camp. 238 acres. Huge camp, really beautiful camp. We were there. And the Lord was calling us to consecrate ourselves to have an upper room consecration. Amen. And no longer we are consecrating ourselves just for us, for the Lord. We just say, "Lord, I love you, I love you, I love you, I give myself to you. Now I love you and I love your house." You later on you'll hear Simon. He'll tell you about the Lord in the Eldon Hall days, how we consecrate ourselves to Christ and the church. Not just Christ, but also the church. Amen. This is how we lived. You know why I came to Chicago? I was a graduate student at UCLA. I already passed my qualifying exam. I was doing research. Those who study PhD knew that this is the most important thing is passing your qualifying. If you could pass your qualifier, you're okay. Mostly, half of us done, right? I passed, and I was doing it, but the Lord's burden to come to Chicago through Brother Jim Ritzky. Brother Jim Ritzky gave me a call. He really burdened me. So I gave up. I gave up my graduate school. I came here, but of course I didn't quite gave up, so I still went to UIC physics department. I continued to study for 2 years until the Lord told me give it up. So I don't have a PhD behind my name. I always wanted that. From I was in high school, I always wanted to have a PhD behind my name. And also, you know what? Brother Lee, don't laugh. I had the ambition at that time I wanted to gain Nobel Prize in physics. Because in high school, we have three Chinese scientists, science physicists, gained the Nobel Prize. Li Daojun, Yang Zhenning, and Wu Jianxiong. So it kind of inspired us all, you know, that's why. Simon, I don't know about you, but you probably, that's why you picked physics. I picked physics. I was more ambitious than he was. He didn't want Nobel Prize. I want a Nobel Prize. But now, the Lord calls me to come to Chicago. I knew I got to give it up. Actually, I already gave it up when I applied for graduate school. I applied for UCLA. That's number 16 in the nation. And I got admission to Caltech, was number one in physics at that time. But I went to UCLA. Already I gave up my Nobel Prize dream, I knew. But now I had to give up PhD. I came to Chicago for the purpose, God's purpose, God's will, God's house. And praise the Lord. The Lord blessed that time. That migration was fully blessed by the Lord. Right, Marty? I really am thankful that we came. And now you see the church in Chicago here. And not only the church in Chicago, the church in Palatine, the church in Streamwood, the church in Waukegan, the church in Oakland, and Glen Ellen, they all, Naperville, they all spread here. Started with that little seed. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's worth it, brothers, to see the house of God built up. Okay. But 4 years ago in 2012, we had the brothers, we brothers, co-workers, fellowship, we need to pass on the baton to the younger co-workers. We need to just raise them up. So I thought, okay, this is a good time for me to retire. Right? I got grandchildren here now, and I want to play with my grandchildren. Don't you like to play with the grandchildren? Otherwise, every day the tea of all the churches lay upon you daily. You can't even enjoy your grandchildren. But I want to retire. One day I was praying to the Lord. I said, Lord Jesus, by the Lord's mercy, I have given myself to Him. I gave up this, gave up that. And the Lord did work. We had some, in a sense, human sense, we had some success. When I was in Seattle or was in UCLA or came to Chicago, or even went to Monterey Park and San Gabriel Valley, West San Gabriel Valley area. We had success. I don't have any regrets, but I say now it's time for your servant to have a little rest. Can you give me a little rest? And I will just pass on the baton to the younger co-workers. We have now raised younger co-workers. Two of those are here. And let them do the job. They did. They did a good job, right? Praise the Lord. Amen. This weekend, don't you? Can you testify that they had a good job?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Very good. But the Lord, I was praying and I was kind of asking the Lord to allow me to retire. Not really retire, but in the sense, less responsibility and more time for my grandchildren. But, by the way, this is my son Peter and his wife Joy. Amen. But the Lord said, David, you look around. I say, what? I see, wow, I see all these churches are flourishing. Right? Everything is so doing all right. If you look in the church in Chicago, don't you think it's good? It's all right? Doing well? He doesn't think so. But the Lord said, look, in 1994, when Brother Lee was in the same kind of feeling I was in, Brother Lee said, well, we have 2,000 churches over the globe. The ministry was well received everywhere. And he was happy, right? He was happy. He said he was happy. Then the Lord spoke to him, remember? In 1994, Brother Lee had a conference called the Blending Conference. You remember that, right? There's a book came out from that conference. It's called Practical Points Concerning Blending. Yeah, you remember that, right? Many of you have read that book. And in chapter 1, in the message 1, Brother Lee already, I was happy and I was content that the Lord has, his recovery has really covered the whole globe. Remember that? You should be there. You should have been there, right? Or you were not born yet. Well, probably you were born. Okay. But the Lord told Brother Lee, he said, but where is the reality of the body? You remember that? Where is the reality of the body? Jeff, you must remember that. You read the book. Yeah. Where is the reality of the body? So Brother Lee then gave a conference, and he shared what the reality of the body really was. It's in one of the outlines. Anyway, it's not. We don't have this here. It's actually the God man Jesus reliving in all of us, right? Okay. In spirit, in resurrection. But, so that was 1994. And I when I was negotiating with the Lord was 2012. And the Lord said, then, where is the real building up of the body of Christ? I was looking around the churches I was serving. I was quite happy that the saints are doing well and gospels are being preached. We are expanding a lot of time. We're multiplying, praise the Lord. But the Lord said, look, how many saints are serving? You know what I mean by serving? Most of us are just meeting goers. We come to meetings, but we don't really serve. Even if we come to meetings, we don't even function. We allow others to sing, to praise, and we just sit there. I'm here as a bench warmer. But the Lord says, what I want the building of the body of Christ. And what is the body of Christ? How is the body of Christ built? Ephesians 4, verse 16 says, out from whom the whole body, right, through two kinds of members, through being joined together and knit together through the joint of rich supply. That's one kind. And through, there's an and there. And through, that means there's another kind. And through the operation in the measure of each one part. The Lord at that time was questioning me. He said, David, look, where are the operation of, where is the operation of each member in the church you are serving? Where is it? I looked around. Most of the service were carried out by the joints of the supply. Okay? I don't know. Chicago is totally different. I'm not sure. But at that time in the church I was serving, Monterey Park and Arcadia and Pasadena and also East LA and other places, I looked around. I said, Lord Jesus, I count only 20% are really serving. 80% saints are dormant. They're not really dormant. They come to meetings. Is it better, right? They come early, late, and they go back, go home, leaving the meeting early. That's become a norm. It's not normal, but it's a norm. You follow me, right? You understand this. This is English. It is not normal. Then normally everyone should be functioning in the body. But most people come, most of the saints come late, leave early. And it becomes a norm. So when we had new ones, we didn't dare to bring the new ones to the big meetings. You know why? Because they see people like that, and they picked it up right away. They learn how to do that. I mean, it's so easy to be late and so easy to leave early. Oh, I got some friends visiting me. I'm this and I'm that. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm not criticizing. I'm just, the Lord just was telling me that. So I say, Lord Jesus, what should I do? What could I do? We have been there for 40 years. This is the kind of church life we're raising, we're enjoying. At least the 20% are really working and shepherding and preaching the gospel and doing all the things. At least the 20% are doing it. The Lord says, I'm not happy about this. I want 100%. I say, Lord Jesus, 饶了我吧. You understand Chinese? Please, let me go. Let me go. Tell this to younger brothers. Let the younger brothers see this and let them do this. I'm old. You know how old I am? I'm 73. I'm way past the retirement age. But the Lord says no. Well, at that time I was 69. The Lord says no. I want everyone function. Then you know what? I pray again. There's a fire. There's a fire burning within me. And the Lord said, that was a fire burning in the thorn bush. This is an old thorn bush now. But still fire is burning. Fred, you cannot say you don't have a fire in you. Right? Gotta have fire in you. Let the fire burn within us for 4 more years up to now. I still labor. I still run around. I still give conferences. I don't give conferences. I stir you up. Because that's what the Lord wants. The Lord wants a house. Amen. Build a house. Amen. By everyone functioning. Amen. Everyone has a part in the building of the body of Christ. That is what the Lord has put in me. That's my commission now. And I hope that's your vision also. And that's what this weekend, what we are doing, is that. Let's have another consecration. The consecration of the upper room. No longer for my purpose, but for God's purpose. No longer just for me, for my enjoyment. Well, of course the Lord is my enjoyment. Eating Jesus is the way. Definitely eating Jesus is the way. But eating Jesus with a purpose. Amen. Eating Jesus so I can function. Amen. Eating Jesus so I can have an operation. Amen. Lord Jesus, you know what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians? He said, in verse 24, he says, I suffer, or something like that. He said, I want to make up the lack of affliction of Christ. And what is that lack of affliction? I thought it was his suffering in his journey, in suffering from Pharisees and so on. But no, later on he says, in verse 28, he says, Lord Jesus, I therefore, teaching every man, admonishing any man with all wisdom, to present every man full grown in Christ. Amen. And for that, Verse 29 says, "And I therefore struggle." Struggling, according to the according to the operation which he operates in me in power. There is an operation in Paul. There is an operation in me. There's an operation, there's a fire in this old thorn bush. Not my thorn, I mean the whole corporate thorn bush. Right? The church in Chicago has been here for 46 years. An old thorn bush. But there's still fire going. Yeah. Operation is here. So brothers, we need to respond. Especially your younger brothers and sisters. Respond. Mostly your parents knew me. You don't know me. But doesn't matter, brothers. That we have the same God is calling us. Yeah. He wants his body built. He needs you. He needs me. He needs all of us to give up our time, our energy, everything. Okay, in the Bible, I just said that was Romans chapter 6. Now I say Romans chapter 12. What does Romans 12 say? Verse 1. Huh? Fred, you remember, right? Don't remember? Yeah, by the mercies of God, what? Ah, I admonish you, I charge you all to present our bodies, physical bodies, a living sacrifice to God, right? And this is holy and well-pleasing and reasonable service. Now, it's service. Chapter 12, verse 1, presenting your bodies is for a reasonable service. You need to serve. You need to grow in life and to serve. And growth in life is for serving in life. So chapter 12 on is the body life. We all know that. In doctrine, we all know that. But in actuality, let's all serve in the body so that we could have this body built according to his economy. And this body must be a reproduction of Christ. Therefore, we must grow in Christ. First thing we must do is morning revival. Everyone must be connected to our head. Right? So Ephesians 4, verse 15 says, holding the truth in love. What? Let us all what? Grow up into him, the head, Christ, and out from whom the whole body will have function. Amen? Okay, I just shared this much. I have to go catch a plane. Sorry. But brother, okay, let me say a few words about this brother. This brother, he came to UCLA in 1968. I was there in 67. He, ever since, has been my vital group companion, Simon Yang. He's got gray hair, so you can tell differently. And he's taller. But his wife and my wife were good friends. And people mix them up a lot, so we're quite one. Amen. Anyway, here you are.
Oh, sorry. The brothers told me that I have half an hour. So I will try to finish in half an hour. And my reputation has not been very good, but I'm learning to finish within the allotted time. Recently, I'm from Columbus, Ohio. We have a wonderful young couple, got married. They asked me to say a few words. And they say, Brother Simon, you have only 10 minutes. I said, 10 minutes? And then I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. So I learned, and I did finish in 10 minutes. Anyhow, praise the Lord. Wonderful to be in Chicago with all the saints here. David is gone, but I want to say a few words about David also. When I came to the U.S., came to the church in Los Angeles in 1968, David was always my older brother, and that never changed. He's still my older brother, and I feel so safe when I am with him because he's older than me. I'm not too old. He's older than me. Well, Brother Marty says, last summer, a year ago, the Lord have mercy, he took me through the not just the shadow of the valley of death, but actually in the actual valley of death. And he brought me up, and when I woke up from my deep sleep, you doctors, brothers, you know, when I woke up from my deep sleep, my son, who happened to be a resident doctor, and he was there, you know what we did? We sang this hymn, Up from the Grave He Arose. Can I say something more? So then a nurse came in, said, what are you doing? I said, well, we're singing the hymn, the Christ rose from the dead. On the third day, and Simon Yang rose from the dead on the seventh day because of Christ. Praise the Lord. And I need to thank all the churches, all the saints, pray for me. So afterwards, as I was with the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? You gave me a few more, I don't know how many years, you gave me some more time, what should I do? And the Lord didn't seem to say anything. He didn't seem to say anything what I should be doing. I said, do you want me to be more useful in the church? The Lord didn't say anything. And I was touched by what David just shared. The Lord wants to have a builder's house, a builder church, where every member functions. Can you repeat this with me? The Lord wants to have a builder house where every member functions. Amen. Well, let's read a couple things from the outlines. And this is absolutely tremendous. And I don't know how I can all put in 30 minutes. Number one, the general subject, just to save time, is a complete consecration. Right? For what? For the building up of God's house. For the building up of God's house. Not for other things, but for the building up of God's house. Then the title of this message. Can we read it together? The title of this message. Becoming. Amen. The first one says it's a complete consecration for the building up of God's house. Then the subject of this message talking about becoming the reproduction of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, the Lord has a burden for us, and for which we have to have a complete consecration. Brother David talked about two kinds of two steps of consecration, right? One is the seashore, seaside consecration. You are just attracted by the Lord. You consecrate yourself, but with not much vision and revelation. But the second kind is coming to the upper room to pray together for 10 days with 120 people to pray and to consecrate yourself for God's purpose. And oftentimes these days, brothers and sisters, as I'm with the Lord, I was just reminded and touched by the Lord, how about my heart's desire? How about my heart's desire? Brothers and sisters, it's not for us. It's for God. God created us. God saved us. And furthermore, I want to say, God brought us to the church. It's all to fulfill His heart's desire. And for this, it requires our complete consecration. And he's talked about we need to become the reproduction of Christ. And I want to just say a few things before I go on to the point that Brother David mentioned about the to serve, right? And it says, becoming the reproduction of Christ. The church came out of the world, and the church came out of Christ, right? Whatever is in the church should be Christ, right? And the church is Christ. But now he says, the reproduction of Christ. That means the church is the same, the exact copy of Christ. Is it possible? It's not possible unless all the members function to enter into the revelation, the vision of revelation, and enter into the total, absolute, complete consecration. You know, in Exodus 25, there's a golden lampstand, and which is all the shape, and it's an embodiment, that Christ, typified Christ as the embodiment of God, right? You all remember this. You all know this. Then in Zechariah 4, where there's another golden lampstand and has two olive trees right next to it. And then the Lord spoke the word, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. So the golden lampstand there typifies the spirit. Then you come all the way to Revelation chapter 1. What did John see? When he heard the loud voice, he turned and he saw what? Seven local churches. Seven golden lampstands. And there he saw the Son of Man walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. So, brothers and sisters, I want to touch this point. Every local church is a golden lampstand. Every local church is a reproduction of Christ, is the reprint of the Spirit. Don't lose heart. Just go forward with the Lord. Lord, carry out your heart's desire. Amen? Okay. I need to go quickly. Then the rest of the outlines talking about how we can go on and so forth. But I want to switch a little bit to this. Brother Andrew Yu, he gave us, the Skype video, both in New York and then in Chicago. And Brother Andrew talked about in the 1940, if some of you who have heard Brother Lee, you probably have heard this. He said, one day, Brother Lee told Brother Lee, brother, we have the blueprint of God's building. The blueprint. Lantua, huh? God's building. Then Brother Lee took that when he went back to Chifu. And then he developed something further called Gong, huh? Construction print. He brought to Chifu and he had a construction print. What is the construction print? Construction print, basically, it says perfect all the saints until every man function in the body. And that is, just in a nutshell, I just say it quickly, huh? He can't take all the saints in the church there. Somebody talk about food, huh? He invite them to dinner, and then he lists the name of all the saints in the church in Chifu. And he categorize them, not for discrimination, by categorizing them by their spiritual status. From category 1 to category 12. What is that for? It's for this. Category 1 is the one that barely come, huh? That, like Brother David say, come late, go early. But category 12 are the ones that fully involved serving the Lord and serving the church. So what did he do? He said his first task is go visit the category 11. Labor with them. Work on them. Have time with them. Pray with them. Take them out to preach the gospel. Then category 11 will become the category 12. Then you work on category 10. Bring them to category 11. And on and on and on. 2 years' time, then that brought in a revival in the church in Chifu. So Brother Andrew says, here and there, we need this kind of revival. If you labor, you will have a little revival in your locality. If you labor, you will have a little revival in your locality. Amen. Right?
Amen.
So he kind of simplify all these things for us. He says, we need to build up this relationship with people, with others. You know, you know always, Brother Lee and Brother Lee always told us, we have to have an interest in people. Otherwise, why do you want a church? The church needs people, right? You need to have an interest in people. So, Brother Andrew gave us these 4 stages. Simple, huh? Not 12, but 4. Number 1, it's not very spiritual. Establish relationship with people to gain friends. Yeah, did you hear me? To gain what?
Friends.
What did they say Jesus was when he was on this earth?
Jesus, the friend of sinners.
Friend of sinner and of tax collector. Not very spiritual, huh? Friend. We need to establish a proper relationship with people as friend. When you go to school, you talk to your classmate. When you go to work, you work with office mate. When you live in the neighborhood, work with the people in your neighborhood. And then the second stage is once you become friends, eventually you bring them into salvation, into regeneration. Then they become brothers. That's first, the second step. Then once they are brothers, we need to labor with them to become partners, so they can be partners with you to help you to gain more people. And that's number three, huh? Number four is that they will become disciples. Disciples of Christ, they will do what you do. And that's his construction print. We are the blueprint. Brothers and sisters, do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord's heart? Do you love the Lord's heart's desire? Let's give ourselves to this blueprint, give ourselves to this construction plan. Amen? I want to share a little bit of my own experience in my neighborhood. Let's talk about friend first. Huh? In my neighborhood, well, we have 12 minutes. In my situation, some brothers know, my wife teaches in a university which is 60 miles from Columbus. So we have two residences. We have two neighborhoods. The first one is a college called Cedarville University. We had an apartment there. So we made friends. And these are all Christian friends. From Christianity. But they come to our apartments every week, once or twice or more time. They come and we feed them with food, right? College students, you can't do anything without feeding them with food. And then we have Bible study. Then we have another house in Columbus. And that's a normal, regular American Ohio Columbus neighborhood. We have all sorts of people in our neighborhood. Let's see. There's some Christians, some non-Christians, some Jews, and so forth. But we made a point to, I'm okay? You can hear me? To make friends with them. So they're all our friends. And they talk, they know what I do. They know, of course, they know what my wife does, and they know what I do. And one time, I have the feeling to give a book to the neighbor to the right side of me. That's Tony and Kathy. They are Italians, and they are brethren. We go to the brethren church. And I gave them a book. I gave them the book of the normal Christian life. Somehow I just have a feeling, give them the book. So a few days after that, Kathy running to my house. Simon, that is a tremendous book. And she was so touched. She said, what do we do now? Let me invite her whole neighborhood to have a Bible study. And my wife and I, we said, oh, no, not so fast, not so fast. And then we have, whenever we are in town Saturday night, we have a home meeting in our house. And the home meeting, we call home meeting, but they all call Bible study. So she came to our Bible study whenever we have one. Then afterwards, after a little while, she said, That's not enough. Can you come to my house? And I'll bring some neighbors. So this past week before I was gone. So we went to their house and we had Bible study. And they brought two other couples in the neighborhood and their two daughters were there, 17 and 21 or something like that. And they said, can you share something with us about, number one, about the Spirit? As I was talking about the Spirit, I noticed some of them are not really saved yet. So I just talked to them about the mystery of human life. Huh? Just that those people. So the next day, she texted me. She said, my daughter said, now it really makes sense. They want to get baptized. Can we baptize our kids in our swimming pool? So anyhow, when we go back, that's one of the things we do. But she said, when we have the baptism, I want to bring more friends from the neighbors. So she is kind of our helpers, almost our partners in this way. So that's one. And second thing was, when we talk about raising up the younger brothers. In Ohio, in where I serve, it is my normal duty to go to different localities to visit the churches and to visit the brothers. I never go alone. Especially now that I got sick, I have no way to go by myself. The brothers won't let me go by myself. So you know who I often go with? And when he's not available, I have another younger brother to go with me. Initially, when we go there to talk to the saints, talk to the brothers, always I did the talking. Then afterwards, I feel that is not right. So one time, as we were driving down there, we pray for the locality, we pray for the brothers, and I suggested, brother, how about you start? And just keep talking. And if you stop, then I'll continue. But if you don't stop, just keep going. Brothers, it's marvelous. I have a wonderful partners in the church in Columbus. And I would say, they do a better job than I can. It is really true. And that's the building of the church step by step. One at a time. But that's the most effective way. You know, the mother produces their children one at a time. And that's 6,000 years of human history. That's the most effective way. One at a time. Brothers, if we can just consecrate ourselves, put forth the effort, labor with just one at a time, the Lord can build up the church. But of course, whatever you do, do it with a vision. Lord, I'm here for the building up of your house. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. Lord Jesus, I love your church. Amen. Brother David mentioned, when I first came to the church in Los Angeles, that was the very first time I was saved and baptized in Christianity. Then I came to the church life. But when I came to Los Angeles. It was the first time I saw it's not for me. It's for God. God has a heart desire. God has an eternal purpose. God wants the church. So December, shortly after I got there, December 1968, we had a winter conference with Brother Lee. But even before Brother Lee had an opportunity to speak, all the saints were popping up. Here and there, couples, single ones, they stood up and say, I consecrate myself to Christ and the church. And I stood up. I said, I consecrate myself to Christ and the church. And still today, brothers, that is in my heart. And last night, I told the saints, Chinese-speaking saints, that when my wife got together, that we're going to get married, I never proposed to her. Never did. You know what we did? I said, Sandy, it's for our marriage is for Christ and the church. She said, of course. So we just pray that to consecrate our marriage to Christ and the church. And I'm happy to report to you that my wife is my vital companion. Amen. We labor together. Amen. And that's when I was in New York, you know, Brother Lin Hong, the co-workers from Taiwan, he was saying that his wife was his vital companion. And his wife would nudge him at night. Hey, how come you're going to sleep? We haven't prayed yet. And I was just laughing. That's exactly what my wife does to me. What do you mean you're going to bed? We haven't prayed yet. We are here for Christ and the church. Yeah. Everything is for Christ and the church. Yeah. However long I will live on this earth, I don't know. But I'm here for Christ and the church. Yeah.